2017, the year of fabulous outpourings from heaven. Welcome to the Who's Your Daddy Godcast.
This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's podcast, Keith Axum.
Hey everybody, Keith Axum here, History with God Ministries, coming to you with a podcast which I've entitled Wealth and Riches, Get In Here. Now, this is going to possibly offend some people, but that's okay. Some people are going to get blessed by it. If you think we're just preaching health and wealth and, name it, claim it, prosperity teaching, well, in some ways we are, but it's also what the Bible says about wealth. It's something that is available for us, and we have to take it. So hang in there. Listen to the podcast. Now, is there anyone out there who really does not want to prosper, doesn't want to be successful, doesn't want to have abundance, doesn't want to have more than enough, doesn't want to be, dare I say it, rich? A rich Christian. Rich. Oh, those just don't go together. Well, I think they do. And when you search your heart and you're honest with yourself, just look at yourself in the mirror. If you're in a place where you can do that, if you're in the car, look in the rearview mirror and just look in there and say, I don't want to be rich. Just look at your face and say, I don't want to be rich. I mean, if no one else were to know, wouldn't you want enough wealth that you wouldn't have to concern yourself with money ever again? I mean, this is a truth for pretty much everybody. If you say no to that, then you're just so steeped into religion that you need to recover from that. You need to get over that. Because you have a religious mindset and you need your mind renewed. So this podcast is going to tell you a lot about yourself, and hopefully you'll learn some things. It's going to be about whether you have a grace mindset or whether you are steeped in religion. It may offend the religious law-minded Christian. That's okay. We want to encourage those who are willing to hear. Now, if you really, really don't want to be wealthy, just listen anyway. I'm betting there's very few who really don't want wealth. Very, very few. If you're being honest with yourself. Not that it has to be the focus of your life or that you're consumed. I'm talking about accepting what God says about you and about who you are in Jesus and about what your inheritance is. So let's get into the Word. Look at Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright, right, will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. And I want to focus on that last verse. It says, wealth and riches will be in his house. In whose house? The upright. Who's the upright? We are. The redeemed. Those who are saved. Those who are the righteousness of God. We are the generation of the upright. Now it says here, wealth and riches will be in his house. Now will be is italicized. So it's actually wealth and riches in his house. So wealth and riches, it's the title of the podcast. Get in here. Now, if you're in Jesus, you're the upright, you're righteous. He's talking about you. This is anyone who's saved. You are the upright, you're the righteous, you're the blessed. Wealth and riches in your house. Are we talking scripture here? This is Psalm 112. So say it. Wealth and riches in my house. This is your right as the righteousness of God. It's your inheritance because of what Jesus did. So I say, wealth and riches, get in my house. I'm just repeating what the word says. The Lord loves his word repeated back to him. And I like to confess anyway, which is something we should all be doing regularly because blessings are voice activated. Now, if you're just in your car or wherever you are and you're thinking, you know, he's just preaching the prosperity thing. Well, yeah, I am. Even though I hate the label. I can't stand that label. Prosperity label. You know, everything's got to have a label. Well, it's the prosperity message. Well, it's the grace message. Well, what would you rather have? What kind of message do you want? The sin and hell message? I mean, Jesus redeemed us from all that. I was once talking to another Christian, and I was going on a vein that she didn't quite get, and she was like, you're a Christian, right? I mean, you know about sin and hell and all that, right? I mean, that's a great focus on the word, but unfortunately, that is where religion is. And the word's big. You can focus on certain things if you want. I mean, I tend to focus on the things that Jesus did and the abundant life, and that's what I want to walk on. And this is true stuff. It's biblical. You know, Romans 3:4, scripture I love. If you agree with the word, you speak it, you take it, you'll have it. God's word is true. Man lies. So let's stick with the word. It's very unfortunate that people get off on the moral part of it, because Jesus actually did away with a lot of stuff so that we don't have to deal with it. I'm not saying you shouldn't be a moral person. But that's not what I'm going to focus on here. I want to focus on the abundance that God promises us. Now, let me ask you, the patriarchs, a lot of people in the Bible that the Lord talked about, Solomon, was he rich? I think so. Was David rich? Was Abraham rich? They were all extremely rich. And the word talks about how rich they were. It talks about it a lot. Why? Because it's important to God. They're blessed. It's important to God that people know that they're rich. This isn't just for reading. Oh, Abraham was rich. That's great. No, it's supposed to send you a message. Oh, Abraham was rich. Well, you know, I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm redeemed from the curse. You know, I'm part of that heritage. I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham. So it's important for us to know that when we look that Abraham was rich, we're blessed with the same blessing that he was. And God talks about it in the word all the time. It's important. That's why he talks about it. I mean, he knew that the devil was going to pull this poverty mindset thing on people and try to talk you out of what the Lord did for you, what Jesus did for you on the cross. Try to talk you out of your inheritance. So he mentions prosperity a lot in the word. A lot. Genesis 13:2, and Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. The Message translation, I love this, says Abraham was very rich, loaded. He was loaded down in goods. Loaded. Yeah. I mean, that's a good word right there. Job 1:3, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and he had a large number of servants. I saw where this would be in the neighborhood of $6 million in today's dollars, if you price that out. Job was rich. Abraham was rich. Were they bad things? I don't think so. I don't think we're looking at this like it's a curse. They were rich, loaded, plenty and overflowing, more than enough. Look at Proverbs 3:10, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Overflow, not just enough, more than enough. And what's wrong with having more than enough? I mean, the land of Egypt was lack. That was not enough. That was oppression. And from there, the Israelites went into the wilderness, where God fed them and took care of them, the land of just enough, where they had to wander around for a while. But then they went to the land of Canaan, more than enough. That's where we want to go, the land of more than enough. I mean, just enough is, it's okay, it's enough. But why not more than enough? And we're going to come to why more than enough is important. Deuteronomy 28:11, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Again, plenty of goods, increase. This is a common theme throughout the word. Religion will tell you otherwise. This is the word we're reading. We're reading scripture here. 1 Kings 10:23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And Solomon asked for wisdom and he gave him riches as a bonus. I mean, he didn't take money away from him. That wouldn't be a blessing. He gave him riches. That's a blessing. Riches are a blessing. It's a good thing. It's something that you should want. It's something that Jesus died for. Anything that Jesus died for, I want. If he went through all that pain for me, I want it. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers. The Lord gives you power to get wealth. This is part of the covenant arrangement. The covenant is established. I mean, it's a sign. A wealthy Christian is a sign of the covenant. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I can't say that enough. God talks about it like it's good. He brings it up over and over again. Wealth is a good thing. Riches are a good thing. Overflow is a good thing. Excess is a good thing. It's our inheritance as Christians. So the Lord emphasized this. His servants were rich. And why shouldn't the blessed of the Lord be rich? I mean, God wants to show us off. You're broke, sick, disgusted, down and out. You know, how are you going to get shown off to anybody? You know, when you're doing well and you're healed and you're blessed, people will look at you, hey, that's a Christian. You know, God's really blessed him. And again, it's a good thing. It's good to be rich. Wealth and riches, get in here. So God's intent from the beginning was Garden of Eden living. Every need met. Abundance. No want. No lack. No shortfall. No shortage. Enough. Plenty. More than enough. Excess. Not even thinking about where the next meal's going to come from. Not worried about that. Not worried about paying the bills. Not even concerned about it. Overflow. This is our heritage. This is our inheritance. Now, God talks about excess. People have a problem with excess. You should have enough. You should have enough for you, but no more. Well, that's not how God talks. He doesn't say you should have just enough. Joel 2:24, the threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Overflow. This is a theme in the word. Proverbs 3:10, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Again, overflow. More than enough. Filled with plenty. Bursting. I mean, just look at the words here. This is a This is a theme that we want to hang on to. What did Jesus think about wealth? In John 12:3, a woman anointed him with oil, which in today's dollars I saw was worth about $30,000. Judas got upset with that. Judas. Now, Jesus didn't get upset with this. Judas got upset. Judas said he thought the money should be given to the poor. This was an inappropriate expense. $30,000, somebody is anointing the Lord with $30,000 worth of oil. I mean, he thought it was, I can not even say this, wasted on Jesus. I mean, try to say that. Wasted. Wasted on Jesus. It doesn't even come out. You can't even comprehend that. There's no such thing. Those words, wasted and Jesus, should never even be together in the same sentence. You like can't even really say it. Of course, Judas didn't really care about the poor. He wanted the money for himself because he was a thief. I mean, wouldn't this have been a good time for Jesus to rebuke the woman if he thought it was a waste? Jesus could have done that himself. This would have been a perfect time. He could have said, you know, this is wasteful. Don't waste this, you know. Jesus said, the poor are always with you, but you won't always have me. I mean, he could have said this is a waste of resources. It was a perfect opportunity. He didn't go there. He didn't say that. This is because Jesus knows that resources are unlimited. There's no shortfall of resources in the kingdom. Now, I can prove this, that people are actually into prosperity, regardless of what they say. Let's talk about a family, their middle-class family. Their needs are met. They have a middle-class house. They have a middle-class cars, middle-class lifestyle. However, they want a Mercedes. Okay, they want a Mercedes. They work hard, 60 hours a week. They work Saturdays. They work a lot, and they buy a Mercedes. Now, do they need a Mercedes? No, but they like prosperity. So, if they are Christians, they're into prosperity. If you're a Christian and you have a Mercedes, you're into prosperity. I mean, we don't need a Mercedes. There's nothing wrong with it. But people will work hard for those kinds of things. Again, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. It's okay to have money. He just doesn't want money to have us. So people are into prosperity. They can say they're not, but they are. Let's say they save up. They work hard. They take a vacation in Hawaii. Isn't that vacation excessive? I mean, do they really need to take a vacation in Hawaii? Couldn't they go to a local lake or a mountain or the beach? Do they need to go to Hawaii? I mean, they could, but they enjoy the prosperity. Hawaii's a step up. It's a good thing having a Mercedes. It's a good thing going to Hawaii. These are not bad things. But these are prosperity people. Don't tell me they're not. They want prosperity. Otherwise, they give away the Mercedes, sell it, give the money to people that need it. Don't go to Hawaii, you know, go to a lake and sow into a worthy cause. People will not really realize that they're into prosperity, but this proves it. And again, nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with having a great life, having more than enough, having a good car. The good things of the world, who are they for anyway? The best dinners, you know, the best steaks, the best seafood. Who's it for? You know, the best of the land. Is this just for sinners? Is this just for, you know, big corporations? Who's it for? You know, the best is for God's kids. It's for us. We should have it. And we should look at it that way. This is where we have to renew our minds. Because the best of everything is for us. It's not just for the world. It's not just for anyone out there who's, you know, in an upwardly mobile position, and it's really for everybody, but this is particularly for Christians. This is for us. This, again, is our inheritance. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. I would even maintain that in a worldly sense, they can work for all those things and they can get them, but they won't really, really enjoy it. Apart from God, you can't even really enjoy the things that the world has to offer. I mean, we need Jesus in the middle of it for us to really enjoy those things. So whatever you want is fine. It doesn't matter. You want like a 14-bedroom house with 4 bedrooms? It's fine. He richly gives you all things to enjoy. You want like an island someplace? You want a jet plane? I don't know. I mean, whatever you want is fine. There's no such real thing as excess. He richly gives you all things to enjoy. You know, maybe you want a yacht, 100-foot yacht. I mean, personally, I don't really need a 100-foot yacht. It sounds like something that would tie you down, you'd have to think about, you'd have to deal with. Unless you had enough money where you could just manage that out and you don't have to really worry about it. But, you know, for me, I don't need a lot of those things. It might be kind of cool having a plane. You know, it'd be nice having a few houses here and there. Some of that would be very cool. And again, enjoy what God gives you. It's all good. There's no such thing as excess. To me, it's more about getting things out there, though. Excess is to get out there. It's to distribute. I think this is the reason for excess in God's plans. Now, these verses pertain to sowers. Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom." Okay, running over, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. So you give, men are going to give unto you, and it's going to be more than enough. It's going to be running over. 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." So you give, it's going to be given unto you. You'll have an abundance for every good work. Wouldn't it be great to just meet needs? You see needs, people in your family. "Oh, I'll help you with that here. You know, let me take care of that for you. Here's $5,000. Or different ministries or people who are going, on a mission trip, you know, be able to fund that trip. There's lots of things that you can do with abundance. Your needs are met, right? You're enjoying everything that God has given you, and now you have more than enough, and you can get it out there. You know, you can sow into needs. You can fulfill that great commission. To me, this is the real purpose of having wealth. This is what it's all about. Proverbs 11:25, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself." You can't outgive God. You give, you're generous, God's going to give back to you. You're going to be blessed, and he's going to multiply it back to you 30, 60, and 100-fold. So that which is above your tithe, over and above, is what you're sowing. And those things you're sowing, you can expect a return on. 30, 60, and 100-fold. You want a 100-fold return? I do. Absolutely. So your needs are met, and now we're going to get it out. Your needs being met are fine. Now we're looking for overflow. We're looking into that Canaan living overflow. So we can take that, and we can meet needs. Riches aren't to hold on to. Riches are like, they're passing through you. You have enough for you. Now you meet other people's needs. And the love of money is a problem. But God gives us richly all things to enjoy. We don't want to love money. We want to love God. Serve him. Okay, so having money is great. Hold on loosely, though. It's passing through. Get it out there. Distribute it. Sow it. Sow excess. Look for the 100-fold return. Sow it again. Look for the 100-fold return. This is how it goes, round and round. Now the Great Commission says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How will people do it without funds? You're broke. You can't meet your own needs. You can't meet anyone else's needs. This is why it's nice to be wealthy. You can meet other people's needs. It's not a bad word. It's a biblical concept. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. So if you have that money coming in that way, you know, you've sowed, you're a good sower, you're a good reaper, you know, keep getting it out there. Keep fulfilling that great commission. You know, don't let the money just sit there. Get it out there. Circulate it. Distribute it. Have what you want, but then meet the needs of the gospel. Get the money out there. Get the funds out there. Fund missionaries. Meet needs. Have the gospel preached everywhere. Get millions saved. We're here a short time. Get the funds out there. When you're rich, you can enjoy it, but get the funds out there. You know, Kenneth Copeland once said, true prosperity is being able to look into a man's eyes and take on his needs as your own. And wouldn't it be great to do that? Wouldn't it be great to look into a brother's eyes who's hurting and whose need and be able to fund that need? This is what you can do with wealth. This is what you can do with excess. This is what you can do with overflow. Meet the needs of your family, your friends, your community, your church. Needs foreign and domestic to fund the gospel. This ultimately is the purpose of wealth. So I go back to Psalm 112, verse 3. Wealth and riches in his house. And so I say, wealth and riches, get in here. Get in my house. Now, if you're hearing this, you listened all the way through, that is awesome. Praise God. It's okay to be wealthy. It's okay to be rich. There's just because you're rich doesn't mean you have to hang on to it. Doesn't mean you have to sit on it. Sit around and have servants take care of your every whim and, you know, eat bonbons or whatever concept you have of being rich. And I think that's the problem that people have with it. But ultimately, being rich is to enjoy the things that God has given you and also to meet needs. So if you enjoyed this, it's awesome. Send us an email. Let us know what you thought about it. If this is something you're interested in, let's say you're not saved, hey, get saved right now. Just say, Lord, I accept you into my heart. And I want to live your life through me. I accept you as my Lord. Let us know you did that. Very simple prayer. And we love it. We love to hear from our listeners that people are getting saved, that people are getting blessed. So everybody, really enjoyed chatting with you today. Hope you got something out of this. You can say wealth and riches, get in here in your own house, in your own property. Because this is what Psalm 12 was. You're just repeating scripture. So until next time, just want you to know, we love you, God loves you, Jesus is Lord, and stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.